Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted to have you come on board with us today. We look forward to this broadcast each day where we can come before you as our listeners and have dialogue and discussion on some of the most important issues that we're faced with in life. Let me remind you, lest I forget it, you can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. That telephone number gets you directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can have the dialogue and discussion on this broadcast today. Let me remind you, we are delighted to have you call in, entertain your questions and comments, let you join in the discussion on the issues. As we face the issues, let me remind you once again that we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It's not a matter of some political ideological bent. It's not based on denominational dogma where you have the rites, rituals, rules, and regulations. We base our discussion and facing the issues on a central biblicist worldview. That is, what does the Bible say? What does the Word of God tell us? As we think about that, Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, you hear many, even in the realm of the political correctness today, many times you hear them say, "Well, you know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Well, that's not what the Scripture says. If you continue, that is to stay constant, dwell in my word, that's the word of God, you're my disciples indeed. The word indeed simply means truly. You're truly a disciple, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." So Jesus identifies truth as being himself. And then in John 17:17, Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." It's the truth of the Word of God from Genesis through the book of the Revelation that makes the difference as we allow truth to permeate our hearts and direct our footsteps. It's the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God that ought to be the bedrock of our lives and directing our footsteps each day. Zechariah 8:6 says, "Speak truth to every man, to every neighbor, to your neighbor." Ladies and gentlemen, many times we find, just as George Orwell said a number of years ago, the further a society gets from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak the truth. And that's what we're finding today. There are folks that reject the truth, hate the truth, and do not want to hear the truth of the Word of God. This is the reason so often if you're talking with an individual about sin and what God is going to do with sin and judging sin, they get a little bowed up in the back, as I call it. They're angry because you're confronting sin with truth. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted to announce to you today this portion of the broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time also carries a full line of lawn care equipment, hurricane preparedness equipment, hurricane cleanup equipment, and a full line of Honda generators with a knowledgeable team of being able to show you how to operate them and answer your questions. Tools for Time, located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of Old St. Augustine Road and I-295. That's the location, ladies and gentlemen, of the 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory flying 24/7. Find the flagpole. Look at the base of that pole. You'll find Tools for Time, toolsfortime.com, toolsfortime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a subject today that I believe every Christian needs to listen up, tune in, turn on, and be able to understand the depth and the breadth of what we're faced with in America today, with the animus, the hatred, the revulsion, and the attempt to destroy Christians and Christian businesses and those that will stand for truth. God calls on us to be salt and light, and as salt and light, we have the responsibility to stand up, speak up, be visible, be vocal, be heard and seen as salt and light. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 7, 15, 16, and 17, that ye are the salt of the world. You are the light of the world. And if we are not salt and light, the scripture says if salt's lost its savor, that is its benefit, what value does it have but to be cast out and trodden underfoot? And I believe salt is representative there of not just the Christian, but the body of Christ in general, the church. And if the church has lost its savor, that is its ability with the saltiness to preserve society, a decaying, darkened world, then we have lost the value of the purpose for the church today. Ladies and gentlemen, just a few years ago, the LGBTQ agenda, we're talking about today, Christians persecuted for their faith. Christians persecuted for their faith. And in a moment, we're going to be introducing our guest for today and let him do a little discussing about what he has experienced in his own life and work as a Christian businessman. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, if you want to go back and listen to any of these blogs, you can do so. Any of these radio shows, broadcasts that we've done for years and years and years now, you can go back to FCBC at, that's the not the at sign, it's AT, FCBCATJax.com, FCBCATJax.com. And you can pull up all of these blogs. You can listen to them at your leisure. They're all archived there. Or you can go to conservative.edu and find all of the archives of each of the daily broadcasts, each of the shows. And I pray that you'll do so. Tell friends and relatives and neighbors and acquaintances to pull them up, tune in, and listen to it and pass it on to others. But ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the fact that the LGBTQ agenda, in their own words, several years ago, their own words said, and I quote, "We just want to have all the rights of everyone else," end quote. That's what they claimed just a few years ago. But they have developed a process of what's called incrementalism. That is, they're satisfied with a battle here, a little battle there, a little battle there. And so what we're watching on a national basis today, ladies and gentlemen, is the drawing of the net. This has been in operation now since the early 70s, and it's a growing, growing network across America and around the globe, and it is becoming very, very dangerous for Christians and Christian businesses in particular. When in fact, ladies and gentlemen, listen, there's never been an occasion where there's been any true evidence of anyone in the LGBTQ lifestyle, better known as I call it the sodomite lifestyle. There's never been a single case in the history archives of jurisprudence where there's been any true discrimination. Sure, there have been cases, just like with ethnic groups, one battling the other, where there might be a sparring, but there's never been a case where the constitutional rights have been in any way diminished. It's like saying, I'm a murderer and I want to have special rights. I'm a philanderer and I want to have special rights. And it's very similar in that case where we're finding it take place in America today. The truth is that the LGBTQ community doesn't want to have their rights as everyone else. They want special rights, special exceptions, and literally special privileges, and wanting the Christian community to ultimately embrace and celebrate their lifestyle. In fact, in the UK, that's the United Kingdom, the head of the LGBTQ agenda, recently said, and I quote, "We have a goal of crushing heterosexuality," end quote. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't think I could have said it any more bluntly and any more clearly than that, but that's their goal. The goal today is to force every Christian, every church, every Christian business, not just to accept them, but to approve and to embrace and to celebrate the sin and the sinful lifestyle of the LGBTQ community. We have watched, perhaps you're familiar with it, and I want to do in this elongated monologue to set the stage for our dialogue and discussion today with our special guest on this subject. We've watched Jack Phillips in the Masterpiece Cake Shop in Colorado. He's been persecuted and prosecuted for the past 5 or 6 years now. His case has gone all the way to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court remanded it back to the Supreme Court of Colorado. And then the Colorado Human Rights Commission heard the case. They have filed new charges. They've dug in their heels, and rather than resolving the case, they continue to battle and trying to destroy Jack Phillips. What did he do? What was his sin? What was his egregious crime, if you will? He simply said no to a sodomite couple, that he did not want to tarnish his conscience and his Christian view on what God's word says. So as a result of that, he refused to bake a wedding cake for the sodomite couple. They went to the Colorado, Human Rights Commission. They filed charges, and it started the case, and it promulgated from there. But ladies and gentlemen, his case went all the way to the Supreme Court, was sent back to the lower courts and said, review. And in fact, listen, ladies and gentlemen, the Supreme Court said that they had found anti-Christian bias in the decisions that had been made by the Colorado Human Rights Commission, by the lower courts, by the appeals court, by the Colorado Supreme Court. They found the thread throughout that it was a Christian bias, a bias against Christianity. Then we have, ladies and gentlemen, the lady in Oregon, Barnell Stutzman. She's a 71-year-old grandmother. She's been persecuted and prosecuted to the point now, at one point, they levied a $135,000 fine against her because she simply refused to prepare flowers in her floral shop for a sodomite couple. Ladies and gentlemen, we're finding that bias, that bent to destroy, if you will not celebrate, if you will not embrace the sodomite lifestyle, there's the bent to destroy. Here's the article, says, religious liberty of florist, bakers in the court's hands. Aaron Melissa Klein, for example, forced to close their Gresham, Oregon bakery after they refused to bake a cake for a lesbian couple commitment for a ceremony. Further, it talks about a Muslim graphics designer. This is what Alliance Defending Freedom, defending the cases, said. They said, a Muslim graphics designer should not be compelled to create designs promoting a Jewish Friend of Israel group. A gay public relations manager shouldn't be forced to promote the Westboro Baptist Church, and a Christian floral designer shouldn't be forced to create custom wedding designs for a wedding that is not between one man and one woman, according to the ADF Alliance Defending Freedom attorney. In this case, ladies and gentlemen, is still pending in the courts. The lower court ruled that it was ruled against the florist. The appeals court ruled against the florist. The Supreme Court then ruled that the Christian bias was there, and that case is still being prosecuted, and the dear lady is still being persecuted. Some of you might recall Burnell Stutzman. She came to Jacksonville back in 2015 when we were debating and fighting the human reprobate ordinance here in Duval County. She was a very calm, loving, sweet Christian lady that's against doing anything that will be in any way harmful for a Christian testimony. Ladies and gentlemen, here's another article. Court case continues after four Christian business owners. And this, I'll just give you the blurbs of them. The Kentucky Supreme Court will hear oral arguments about a case of Blaine Adams, owner of Hand's Own Original Apparel Shop. Goes further. Kentucky T-shirt printer Blaine Adamson, Colorado cake baker Jack Phillips, Oregon baker owner Aaron and Melissa Klein are fighting for their rights to reject business projects that violate their freedom of conscience and religious liberties. It goes further to talk about, ladies and gentlemen, the Jack Phillips case. It's twice prevailed against the Colorado Civil Rights Commission. The U.S. Supreme Court said that and they've handled it now. It's gone back and forth through the courts. This is the third time back in the Colorado courts. In fact, it was just this June. In June, a transgender attorney sued the baker personally after the CCR dropped the attorney's case filed against Phillips in March. The transgender attorney is seeking personal damages after Phillips refused to bake a cake in 2017, celebrating the attorney's transition from male to female. And then it talks about the Lexington Fayette County Human Rights Commission in 2014 that charged Adamson, the one that makes the T-shirts, simply because he refused to make T-shirts that recognized and praised the gay lesbian service organization GLSO. But ladies and gentlemen, he won his argument in the Fayette Circuit Court and Kentucky Court of Appeals, but the county then appealed it to the Supreme Court in the latter portion of 2018, and the case is still pending. And what I'm wanting us to understand, ladies and gentlemen, is that we have a raging battle across America against Christian businesses and Christians and the churches. In fact, you've heard me say before, at the risk of redundancy, let me remind us, there's a bill in Washington, House Bill 5, and it's now voted on by 240 representatives led by the Socialist Marxist Democratic Party, Nancy Pelosi being the spokesperson for that group, passed by 240 votes. Now, Senate Bill 788 with 46 senators already signed on board. It's called the Equality Act. And ladies and gentlemen, if that act ever becomes, that bill ever becomes law, it will destroy the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ across America. In fact, in the bill itself, it says that that bill will trump any religious liberties, any religious freedom, anything that's called the Religious Restoration Act of years gone by. It will prevent those bills or those laws from being used to mitigate against a bill that would become, if it becomes law, that will be totally against the Constitution of the United States, in particular, the First Amendment rights of every citizen in the United States of America. Here's another article, ladies and gentlemen. Supreme Court sends gay wedding cake dispute back to the state courts. Dateline Washington, the U.S. Supreme Court on Monday dealt a partial victory to the owners of the Oregon bakery who were fined for refusing to provide a cake for a lesbian commitment service. The justices wiped out the lower court's ruling against the bakers and sent the case back to another round of court hearings. The legal dispute raised the same issues that arose a year ago in the case of Colorado baker who refused to provide a custom cake celebrating a wedding of two men. The baker, Jack Phillips, of Masterpiece Cake Shop, said it would require him to act against his religious views and violate his religious free speech. Ladies and gentlemen, this article says the court failed then to resolve the central issue in this case, ruling instead on narrow grounds unique to him. But sending the case back to the lower courts was instructions to reconsider this ruling in light of the Colorado case gives the lower court very little to go on. Ladies and gentlemen, what I'm wanting us to understand in this monologue today is that there is a need for Christians to recognize that we're doing battle, and it's a battle against wickedness in high places. It's a battle against demons and demonic battle that continues to rage. And Jesus told his disciples that if the world hates you, recognize it hated me first. The Apostle Paul reminds us as Christians that if we are going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, we're going to suffer persecution. And that's what we're seeing take place today in a very literal form in relationship to Christians, Christian businesses, and Christian churches. Ladies and gentlemen, although we have dozens of these cases across America, I believe we will ultimately see the U.S. Supreme Court take a case. What case? I don't know. But I believe ultimately we'll see the Supreme Court take a case in the very close future, in my most humble opinion, that they will be forced to rule upon and make a decision. Is God's word right? Where God says in Genesis 1:27, male and female created he them. Does that mean that there's some 57, 58 different gender identities? Does that mean that God created Adam and Steve rather than Adam and Eve? I say no. So the Supreme Court's going to have to decide. And I've read just a ton of articles on the fact that we need to be, as Christians, praying today that the Supreme Court will not enter into a judicial decision, a decision by the judiciary to make a decision. What is sex? What is male? What is female? The courts, it is my humble prayer that our courts will make the right decision and will honor God's word in doing so. I know that flies in the face of the LGBTQ community across America today. But until then, ladies and gentlemen, until the court rules on it, we're going to see Christians and Christian businesses, Christian churches being threatened with persecution and prosecution simply because of their faith. Ladies and gentlemen, there's one such case as that's right here in our city, right here in Jacksonville. Now, we've had the HRO, the Human Reprobate Ordinance, in place for just a short few years now. And we have, of all people, one that's on there that is an Islamic man. You've heard me talk about it before. No such thing as civil rights or Christian rights or liberties within the realm of Islam. But Parvez Ahmed sits on the Human Rights Commission in our city, the Human Rights Organization Ordinance that was passed in 2016. And ladies and gentlemen, I am saddened to say that I don't see any future hope unless America turns it around and the Supreme Court makes a ruling on that to finalize that question. Does male and female mean male and female, or does it mean a variety of 100 other things in society today? Ladies and gentlemen, you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. This is Dr. Youngblood. You're invited to call 831-0917, 831-0917. That telephone call gets you directly through to our microphones and right to our studios, microphones, so that we can have the dialogue and discussion with you if you have questions. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a gentleman here in the studio with us today that's being harassed and threatened simply because he said no to a sodomite couple wanting his services for a wedding. He's a photography studio. Mauricio Belgarno, am I pronouncing that correctly?
Yes, sir.
All right. Mauricio is with us today. He has a ministry, a business. Namesake Pictures. Namesake Pictures is right here in Jacksonville. Mauricio, simply, first of all, tell us about your studio. Tell us what you do. Tell us what your profession is in that realm.
Well, I am a professional videographer and also photographer for not just weddings, but for businesses, you know, even for nonprofit organizations. In fact, I started my company with the intentions of serving nonprofit organizations because I was looking at the quality of the videos that they were promoting. And I was just like, I think I can do better. So I started helping a lot of pregnancy resource centers,
That's good.
You know, because my heart is always in supporting the preborn children.
Saving the lives. Absolutely.
So I started with videography. And just last year, I opened up a department for photography because I felt more comfortable and just started, you know, doing more. I needed to bring in more income for my family.
Yes.
And so that's what I do, namesakepictures.com.
Well, thank you for that. I believe we have a call on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please. Hello.
Hello.
Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. I was listening to your show. And I have differences with that. I have people come to me that are not in the Christian faith, and I've been doing Christian t-shirts for 20 years now, and I hear all kind of controversy. And Saturday I went through it with an atheist, and he was explaining to me why he is where he's at, and he said there's nothing on earth that can't be proved, and I said, proving where it's coming from or what is being done. So my answer to him was, yes, there is. And I said to him, death. I said, nobody can say when somebody's going to leave God's green earth. And his reply was death and taxes. I said, no, I said death. I said, because taxes, they're not everybody doing it. But a long story short, God said the treasures of the wicked are stored up for the righteous. And in my heart, if I decide that I want to or don't want to do a project for anybody. I'm not just pointing out LGBT community. I'm just saying anybody. That should be my choice. But if I do it, in my heart, if I take the money and do the right thing, which is blessing people within the community that need help, then I feel that I'm still within God's ramification because he said in his word, the treasures of the wicked are stored up for the righteous. And God in the Old Testament sent his army. And he had them kill other armies, and he told them to take all the treasures. And in some instances, he told them not to touch the treasures and leave it there. So I'm calling to say this. I believe that you are right 100% in what you're saying. But I'm not going to negate the fact that sometimes God will use you as doing that for them to turn maybe that person standing in front of you, turn their life around to doing what's right.
Well, brother, I appreciate you calling. You're right on target. I understand you had one key statement that you made, that you have the right to say no. And that's the very key that we're talking about today, is the constitutional right and what is called our Bill of Rights, the First Amendment to the Bill of Rights in our Constitution. That is the religious liberty and the freedom of speech. And you recall Daniel in the book of Daniel. He refused to bow before the great statue that had been built because he realized that if he bowed before that statue, he would be negating his faith in God and his stand before God. He refused to do so. And as a result of that, you know, there was the three Hebrew children, as a result of their refusing to bow, they were called in and chided by the king. They refused to bend even when they were questioned and persecuted. And as a result of that, they were thrown into the fiery furnace. And as a result of that, they refused to burn. So they didn't bow, they didn't bend, they didn't burn, but they were standing for Jesus Christ. If you look at it and you find in the fiery furnace, there were four figures in there, not three, even though three were cast in. And one was like, the scripture says, like unto the Son of Man, the Son of God. That was Jesus Christ pre-incarnate that was there with them. So we're talking about the religious liberties and the freedom of speech. If you have any organization, any group, any ideological bent that can in any way destroy our First Amendment, our Second Amendment, all of our amendments, the Bill of Rights. If we have anything that can in any way infringe upon those or in any way destroy them, then we're out in no man's land. There's no recourse that we could have to do anything, religiously speaking. We do not want to see the LGBTQ saying that you've got to be silenced, as they tried to do so in Houston, Texas, about 3 years ago. There was an attempt to silence the preachers because they didn't want the preacher saying anything about anything negative about the LGBTQ. It was a lesbian mayor that was trying to enforce that. They took a stand and won in that battle. We must stand for our religious liberties and the freedom of speech. If we do not, our religious liberties and freedom of speech shall be taken from us. So if a person
what I'm trying to get you to understand is they're not the problem. The problem is the church. Back with Martin Luther King, Billy Graham, the Christians came out and stood up for righteousness. But in this day and time, a hiding. Just like
you
we call with.
Oh. You're exactly right.
Yeah, that's what I would be.
You're exactly right. The problem in America today is spineless preachers in pulpits with spineless Christians that won't take a stand. So, brother, you're on target with that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I agree.
But if you choose to make a decision of who you're going to serve, if that is not against your conscience, your what you feel that God would have you to do, then I can't say what you need to do, what you shouldn't do. I can tell you and can say to our listening audience today, as Christians, we need to stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen.
Right.
We need, as I've used the term many times on this broadcast, grow a spine and realize that God would have us to stand as Christians and for Christian values and our Christian conscience. But I really appreciate your call and your input today. Thank you so much for it, and God bless you. Mauricio, I'm going to get that right. Mauricio.
You're good.
Tell us what your thoughts are in relationship to our callers. Take a few moments of that, and we'll get back on track with where we're going with your business and what you do in your business.
Regarding my business again, is that what
you... Well, you can go back. I don't know if you had any comments you wanted to make for our caller that just called in that would add to what I said.
Well, no, I totally agree with your statement, even with his at the very end. At the very bottom line of this whole situation has been really the church, because we're not speaking about these things. Am I good to kind of jump right into
wherever you want to go?
The reason for these homosexual couples taking me to the media and making it a big deal out of this was not so much, and this is what he said, was not so much over the fact that I refused to do their photography for their wedding. It was more of like, I share the gospel with them.
Oh, I noticed that, yes.
And they felt so offended by it.
Offended, Mauricio. I read the article. They felt offended because it made them feel guilty of their sin.
Right. And so, and that's where the problem ultimately is with the Christian community, is that we have given away the verbiage to the culture. We are agreeing with them that the word homosexual, sodomite, for example, is a hating word.
Mm-hmm.
That it is hateful to say condemn. It is hateful to use the word sin and repent. And so when I'm faced now, you know, in this situation, where coming from a homosexual background myself, God saving me from that lifestyle,
amen.
I would address this with my wife, and I said, babe, I cannot just say no and then walk away without the gospel.
Got to be a witness.
And so they're not the first homosexual couple that I addressed them concerning the scriptures, and so we basically I've been sharing with other lesbian couples, confronting their homosexuality, but it wasn't until homosexuals that it went more public. Mm-hmm. So, and as I told everybody
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a one-minute break for the top of the hour news. Looking forward to you coming back. Don't turn your dial. Hang in there. We're interviewing today Mauricio Belgarno, which is a photography studio right here in Jacksonville, coming out of the lifestyle of a homosexual background, getting saved, loving the Lord Jesus, and says no to a homosexual wedding photography job. We're going to finish our interview with him in just a moment. Hang in there. Be right back after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.